We heard that the people were filled with expectation. Those who are listening to John the Baptist were able to recognize that something very important was about to happen. Hopefully, we're also filled with expectation. Hopefully, we've been trying in some ways to really foster a spirit of openness and prayer throughout these first days of Advent. And hopefully, we've tried to avoid unnecessary distractions and routine so that we can be well disposed for the coming of Christ. And so the church, filled with expectation, is naturally also filled with joy as we become aware that Christ is coming very soon. That expectation becomes joy. And in a very special way, in a very intentional way, we could say, we're invited today to rejoice. And we celebrate this joy that we receive by doing two things. If we paid attention to the collect, that opening prayer that has, you know, an important theme for each Mass, we heard two things that we do to celebrate these joys. We celebrate with solemn worship and glad rejoicing. So we celebrate with solemn worship, with all our capacity to love and to adore and to pray, with all our devotion. We are aware, or we should be very aware, that what happens at Mass is too important, too big, and too beautiful as to just have a casual, you know, nice attitude. More than that. And we're also aware that what is about to happen in the world with the coming of Christ is too immense as to not care. Because the Lord comes to us in many ways, then we rejoice. And we rejoice today with solemn worship in this Mass, which we call Gaudete, from the first word of the entrance antiphon, rejoice. And so the natural austerity of Advent is in some way liberated today, and that's why we have flowers, which we do not have throughout Advent. That's why the organ sounds more today than the other days. That's why we wear rose vestments, because we want to celebrate this joy with solemn worship and with glad rejoicing. This phrase, when we think about it, is even a little bit redundant. Not just with gladness or not just with joy, but glad rejoicing. And this invites us to think about joy. Because certainly, at times when we come to church, we hear words that we normally don't hear about in other places. But joy is one of those words that everyone says and that we hear actually a lot in these days of Advent. What is that joy that we're longing for? How is that joy, is it, different than the joy that is offered in so many ways in advertising and movies and all of that? I think we're all pretty aware that there are different kinds of joy, and what we want is true joy. We know and we see these days in a very intense way how our society tries to produce joy, we could say, in so many ways, with positive messages that probably are well-intentioned, with nice presents, with rich foods, and all of that. Now, all of that could be great. I mean, it's actually beautiful to spend time with friends and families and enjoy a nice meal. It is humanly wonderful to exchange presents and to receive a nice note from someone. All of that is beautiful. The thing is that, as we know very well, those things, as nice as they can be, cannot give lasting joy. And there is one big difference that we need to recognize clearly. What our society can offer with those things is essentially good wishes, which, again, are good, are truly good. But they are just wishes. What we receive as disciples of Christ is more than good wishes. It's good news. And the good news are truly good, and they're truly good news because they are real. When we have good wishes for someone, we might mean what we say, but that intention, those good desires, do not necessarily communicate and offer what we're saying. Those are nice words that, again, are honest and well-intentioned, are maybe very kind, but ultimately words. Good news is more than good wishes, is more than just nice words, because what we hear actually happens. This is about reality. This is what makes all the difference between the joy that can be received and maybe experienced for a few minutes through a nice present or a nice gathering. The joy that we receive, the joy that the Lord offers, is the one joy that can last forever, because it is that presence, that permanent presence of Christ, who becomes one of us to share in our life. And that's what really transforms our existence completely. That's why when we hear good news, God is real. God does not abandon us. God comes to us in so many ways. God is about to come at Christmas. God will come again at the end of times. Christ triumphs. When we hear those good news, then what happens is that we rejoice naturally, because again, that is real, that is reality. Good news brings true joy. True joy brings hope and ultimately peace. And the peace that we receive, again, is not just the desire of some peaceful time, but is the powerful presence of Christ in our lives, which is able to bring that peace that St. Paul described in such a powerful way in the second reading. St. Paul said, have no anxiety at all. And we should think about that. Do we believe that that's even possible? To have no anxiety at all. Now, he did not say have no problems at all, have no difficulties at all, have no temptations at all. Because he knew, as we do, that there will be temptations and problems and struggles. But what we also know, because this is the good news of Jesus Christ, is that there will be peace, because Christ becomes part of our life. And if we let him in, then we can have no anxiety at all. Not because suddenly we can control everything, but because Christ, the peace of Christ, guards our hearts. If we want, as we do, this kind of peace, which is lasting, firm, stable, then we need to ask but one question. A very simple question, not a complicated one. We don't need to read complicated books. We need to ask that one question that everyone was asking to St. John the Baptist. All kinds of people, public sinners like tax collectors, but also soldiers and just normal people from the crowds. They were asking, what should we do? And isn't it true that when we are aware that something big is about to happen or someone important is about to arrive, we naturally ask that question, okay, what should I do? We want to be ready. So if we are aware that the Lord is indeed coming, then we have to ask that question, what should I do? And let me say one more thing. We need to avoid a very subtle but common temptation. The temptation of thinking that those questions about conversion, about changing, about sin, that's for those who are really bad, not for us. Of course, I doubt anyone here will say, oh, I'm better than everyone else. But probably many of us will say, explicitly or implicitly, I'm not as bad as them. And there is a risk in thinking too much like that, because we might, in a subtle way, put ourselves in the place, in the area of those who really don't need that much help or conversion or transformation, which ultimately means those who do not need Christ. We don't want to be there. We want to be on the side of those who know that they need salvation, that it's normal to need conversion that it's good to know that Christ is coming for that. And so the question, what should I do? What should I do today? What should I do now, 9 days before Christmas, is absolutely vital for every one of us. Hopefully we will have the openness and the courage to ask this question in silence in the presence of Christ. Lord, tell me, what should I do? What should I do so that the joy of Advent can be a reality, not just a good wish, but good news, the presence of Christ which transforms everything and brings actual peace to our lives, to our homes, to our communities. So let's be open to that. Let's think about that right now. What should I do? And let's ask Mary to help us to be very open to what God wants us to do, and with joy and hope and peace to make a commitment right now to do it, so that we can be truly prepared for the coming of Christ.